Good morning to everyone, and a beautiful first day of the week it is. Wonderful that we can all be here worshiping God this morning. I do, like the others before me, want to thank Brother Perry and Brother Dickey for the opportunity to preach to you this morning. Until Brother Strong gets here, it's been an opportunity that many have been able to take advantage of, and I'm glad for this opportunity again as well. It may be a long time before I get up here again, so I'll do the best I can this morning. One warning, this may make a difference whether I get to come up here again. There will be a quiz at the end of this sermon today. Have you ever been deceived? Have you ever been tricked? And I'm not talking about a magician who has the three little cups up here in the ball and he switches it around. You know it's over here and he picks it up and it's not in there. And I'm not talking about blowing out the candles on a cake and all one starts to spit and sputter and it reignites. You know, that's all fun stuff. But the Bible talks about we can be deceived and it's detrimental. We can be deceived and it's destructive. It's hurtful. We hear cases all the time where two people have a relationship and one person turns out not to be the person that they thought they were. We know that oftentimes you're made promises at work and it was a lie. It was deceitful. There have been people who have been embezzled out of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars by a financial person who flew away in a jet with all their money. There's been people who have signed a piece of paper, thought they were getting some work done on the home, and found out that they don't own their home anymore. But the worst case of all is that if we are deceived and we lose our soul for eternity. And that's what the Bible warns us about. There's a simple but an urgent message in a passage of Scripture that's more like a warning. And it's found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. And it's in the middle of talking about righteousness, righteous living, unrighteousness. But the first part of 1 John 3, 7 says, "Little children, let no one deceive you." That's a warning for us. You know, in life, we all encounter catastrophes. There are trials that we endure. We have losses. There are diseases that we might get. There's disappointments. And when faced with such, where is it that we turn? To whom or where do we go for an answer or for help? There's a lot of things available. We can turn to science and try to find an answer. We can turn to philosophy. There are all sorts of social experts that we could turn to. There's a counselor for everything. We could even just turn to our spouse or our best friend. If we are wise, we will turn to God's Word for the answers and direction. But also, the problem for us is the same problem that mankind has always been faced with. And that is that when we find ourselves in a low, low valley, when we find ourselves overworked, overstressed, or in a situation that we don't know how to get out of, when the burden is so heavy, when we don't know what to do next, that's when we are the most vulnerable. That's when we can most easily be deceived or be tempted. So then, where or what are the sources of these deceptions and how can we guard against them and the consequences? And we have to understand, though, this morning that there are so many types of deception, more than we can discuss today, that we can only look at a few. But as we do that, I want you to remember and keep in mind 1 John 3, 7, because it warns us, little children, do not be deceived. Now, in Zondervan, the New American Standard Exhaustive Concordance, I looked up the word deceived and all of its variations, deceit, deceiving, deceitful, and such. You know, it referenced 175 scriptures of instances and warnings using that word. 175 references. And that's not including other passages like Proverbs 14:12 that says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. 175 passages. You know, if God put it in there once, it's very important, isn't it? So why did he put it in there? Make sure that it was in there 175 times. Well, let's look at a few of those. And we'll begin by looking at the source. Let's look at Satan. In Revelation 12:9, it tells us that Satan deceives the whole world. So he's the culprit. And all the other things that we look at here will be devices that he used. It may be things, it may be people, and different ways that it can be done. But the Satan and his angels, that's his mission, to deceive us. He wants our soul, if he can get it. I'll begin today by reading from Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So here we see that philosophy is included in what is deemed as a deception. That Christ is really the one we should turn to. Back in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 7 and verse 8, Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 8. It says, behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Have you ever trusted in deceptive words? Has anyone ever come to you and said, you know, I've been watching you. You seem like a smart person. You look like a hard worker. I really see some advancement in your future in this company. But in the meantime, I need you to do this for me. Have you ever been tricked? Have you ever been deceived? Let's go back to the New Testament, this time in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Start reading in verse 9. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. So, we shouldn't be deceived. It does matter how we live. It does matter how we conduct ourselves. Still in 1 Corinthians, this time chapter 15, I'd like to look at verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, this applies to all of us, but especially to some of you young ones down here in the front. You need to have good company. You need to have good friends, because it will make a difference on what you do and what you turn out to be. Bad company corrupts good morals. Back in the book of Judges, chapter 16 and verse 13, there we're talking, that's Samson and Delilah, and she said that she had been deceived by Samson because of the telling of a lie. She was deceived by the telling of the lie. But it's ironic because we have a deceiver being deceived. The Bible talks about people who are deceivers and are being deceived. And then we see in Romans chapter 1:25 that we can exchange the truth of God for a lie and be deceived. We can give up something that is honest and true and believe something that we might desire more that's a lie. Well, who's to blame? Well, of course, Satan's to blame. Or we could blame our schools. Or we could blame our home, our parents, our elders, other members of the church. We could blame a lot of people for things that we might have been deceived about. But James chapter 1, verses 12 through 16 tells us ultimately whose fault it is. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when the lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So it's our responsibility, ultimately, to make sure that we're not deceived. Probably one of the saddest verses, or the saddest thing to think about, I read in 1 John chapter 1, and verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, from all that we've talked about this morning so far, why would any of us want to deceive ourselves? Why would any of us want to cause our soul to be cast into hell forever and ever? Why would we do that? That's a terrible thought. So we must remember 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you, not even yourself. Now, over the years, from time to time, I've brought things that I found in my papa's old Bible, some notes, or there's no pockets in a shroud, a little poem, and things like that. And in his writing desk, the front door folds down, there was a little drawer, and there were some things in there. And over the years, I've kept those. Well, there was this little tract, and I just tore it in half. See, it's yellowed, it's tattered and now torn. It's probably as old as I am, which, considering that's why I'm in the shape I'm in. But I'm going to read it just the way it is written. I don't know how old it is, but it still has a good thought. I'm going to put it down here because I cannot hold it together straight. It's called Wrong Direction. I was going west one time during the winter. The train had two engines plowing along. There was a woman with a little baby in her arms who wanted to leave the train at a certain small station where they stopped the train if you come from a certain distance. The brakeman came in and called the name of the station when we were getting near. The woman said, "Don't forget me." And he replied, "Sure." Well, there was a man there who said, "Lady, I will see that the brakeman doesn't forget you. Don't you worry." A while later, he said, "Here's your station." She hopped out of the train into the storm. The train had gone about 3/4 of an hour when the brakeman came in and said, "Where's the woman?" The traveling man said, "She got off." The brakeman said, "Well, she's gone to her death. We only stopped the train yonder because there was something the matter with the engine." Well, they called for volunteers, and they went back and looked for her, and they searched for hours and finally found her out on the prairies, covered with a shroud of ice and snow, woven about her and it by the pitiless storm, and with the little babe folded to her breast. She followed the man's directions. And they led her to her death and the death of her little one. I think that's a very appropriate story for us talking about being deceived and deceptions. She was deceived. It was a terrible ending to this story. It usually is. And we can understand that deception can come from others. It can come from ourselves. It can be intentional to do us harm. But think about it. Our being deceived can be totally unintentional by someone else and still be wrong and still have to suffer the consequences. The cost can ultimately be our soul and the souls of our children and our families. And that's something we have to think about seriously. Fortunately for us, we have an example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he was put through that too. The devil tried to deceive him. So if we look at what he did, it will help us prepare for the times that we have to endure such tribulations and deceptions. It's in Matthew, the 4th chapter. And it's there to help us. Now, first of all, we'll put it into the context here. In verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry." Okay, so to set the context, he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. What condition would you and I be in after we have done that? Mentally and physically, we would be at our most vulnerable point. Our bodies would be weakened. Our minds would be cloudy. And that's when Satan came in to try to get our Lord. In verse 3, the tempter came in and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." He tried him once. He approached him again in verses 5 and 6, where he says, "Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he stood him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone.'" Deception number 3. Temptation number 3. Verses 8 and 9. "And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me.'" How did Jesus respond? How did he respond to the attempts of being deceived by Satan? Let's go back up to verse 4. "And he answered and said, 'It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" Let's look at verse 7. "Jesus said to him, 'On the other hand, it is written, You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" And then in verse 10, "And Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" So if we follow the pattern of our Lord, he was prepared. He was ready. And when the time came that deception came his way, he had, it is written, he had the scriptures within himself to combat it. So can we. So can we. That's our defense. That's our weapon. That's how we keep Satan from deceiving us and making us fall and stealing our soul. Our Lord and Savior knew how to battle against the deceiving lies, and so must we. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to share with you a few scriptures. The first one is that we must believe on the Lord Jesus. You can find several scriptures pertaining to that, but one's in Acts 16, verses 30 through 34. But I don't want you to just believe me that that's what you have to do. I want you to read it. I want you to look it up. The scriptures also tell us that we must repent. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. Luke chapter 13, 1 through 5, specifically verses 3 and 5 there in Luke. But don't take my word for it. Please go look it up so you'll know. The scriptures tell us that we have to confess Jesus is Lord, Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. But do yourself a favor and go look it up yourself so you will know. Baptism, several references about that. Acts 22, 16, Galatians 3, 27, Colossians 2, 12, Romans 6, 4, buried with him in baptism, to come in contact with the blood. But look them up. Make sure that that's what they say. We're also told that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, that we have to add to our faith virtue, or virtue knowledge, or knowledge patience, self-control. He gives us a list there of how we should be growing in 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11. But you should read that so you know what God expects of you. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he tells us to run with patience the race that is set before us. But please look it up so you know that it's there. So you know what God expects us to be doing. So are we being deceived? It's time for your quiz. I don't want you to answer out loud. Just answer to yourself. But I want us to be honest. There are two classes of people in the world, the righteous and the wicked. You belong to one of these two great classes. Which one? There are two great rulers in the world, God and Satan. You are serving under one of these two great rulers. Which one? There are two roads that lead through time to eternity, the broad and the narrow road. You are walking one of these two roads. Which one? There are two ways of beginning the day, with prayer or without it. You begin the day in one of these two ways. Which one? There are two ways of spending the Lord's day, devoutly or undevoutly. You spend his day in one of these two ways. Which one? There are two deaths which people die. Some will die in the Lord, others die in their sins. You will die one of these two deaths. Which one? And there are two places to which people go, heaven and hell. And you will go to one of these two places. Which one? Well, I think this is why God put that passage where he did. He's making sure that we have this as a warning in all those deceptive scriptures, that we might be on guard for our souls. And as he said, little children, let no one deceive you. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?